He states what I wanted to do and then what actually happened. His tone is even. Joaquin does not defend or praise me, he simply relates my participation in the events during a bad time in America. Dr. N, do you think of Joaquin as your defense attorney? S, abruptly, no, that's not the way things are here. Dr. N, is Joaquin objective in his summation at your light? S, yeah, but we've hardly started. I'm forming my thoughts about how well I provided for my family, but this kind of gets mixed up with my professional life. I can't get how I treated my employees out of my mind. This really bothers me. Joaquin is quiet now. He doesn't want to interfere with my thoughts. Dr. N, then let's stay focused with the thoughts between you and your council of wise ones. Please continue. S, I'm trying to anticipate their questions. I know I enjoyed accumulating material possessions in my life. They want me to tell them why, and I say that it made me feel valuable as a person, but one, stepped on people. Then they bring up similar actions on my part from former lives, and if I feel I am doing better. Dr. N, do you think their thought probes about your past are jeopardizing the summary of your current life in some way? S, no, there is no harsh edge to their questions. I'm okay with this, but now my mind is racing and I think of my charity work again as something I should stress, then, stops. Dr. N, encouraging, you are doing just fine with this, tell me what happens next. S, the wise one in the center. His powerful mind envelops me. Dr. N, what does he communicate to you exactly? S, slowly, this is what I hear in my mind. Emmanuel, we are not here to judge you, punish you, or to override your thoughts. We want you to look at yourself through our eyes, if you can. That means to forgive yourself. This is the most challenging aspect of your time with us because it is our desire that you accept yourself for who you are with the same unconditional love we have for you. We are here to support you in your work on Earth. Toward that end, we would remind you of the bus stop incident. Dr. N, the bus stop incident, what does that mean? S, pause, I was confused myself when he said it. I look back at Joaquin for assistance. Dr. N, explain what happens then, Emmanuel. S, the wise one in the center, his thoughts come to me once more, you do not remember this incident. The woman who you helped one day while she was sitting at the bus stop. I said, no, I don't. Then, they wait for my memories to kick in and someone sends a picture into my mind. I'm beginning to see, there was a woman once. I was walking toward my office with my briefcase. I was in a hurry. Then I heard this woman crying softly to my left. She was sitting at a bus stop next to the sidewalk. It was during the Depression, people were desperate. I stopped. Then on an impulse, I sat down next to her and put my arm around her, trying to comfort her. This was a very unnatural thing for me to do. Pause. My God. Is this what they are interested in? I was with this woman for only a few minutes before the bus came. I never saw her again. Dr. N, how do you feel now about the wise one bringing up this incident during your hearing? S, it's so crazy. An entire lifetime of giving money to charity and they are interested in this. I gave this woman no money, we only talked. As my client and I evaluated this meeting, I reminded him why I thought the smiling female council member on the far right wore a robe of yellow. This might be to acknowledge his spontaneous act of support to a stranger at the bus stop. Less developed souls standing in front of their councils often have entanglements of memory as they purge themselves. While they are self-absorbed, they may miss what is important. Emmanuel felt sorry for the woman at the bus stop. Although he was in a hurry to get to his office, he sat down next to her. His brief, compassionate gesture did not last long. Yet in those moments, I learned that Emmanuel reached her pain, looked into her eyes, and told her she was going to make it through her troubles because he was confident she could be strong. She stopped crying and when her bus came she stood up and told him she would be all right. Then he hurried off and forgot this brief act of kindness for the rest of his life. The bus stop incident in this case appears to be a small thing when stacked up against a lifetime of other acts. It was not a simple act to the council. As we move through life, there are many gestures between people that are uplifting. They may be so momentary that we are not conscious of them at the time. In the spirit world, nothing is insignificant. No act goes unrecorded. There are no hard and fast rules about the meaning behind every color the elders might choose to show the souls who come before them. For instance, the red robe worn by the council member in the last case related to the need of Emmanuel to sustain the passion for life within a broken host body in a former life. In the next section, I will explain the meaning behind other symbols worn by council members. A red robe, or red stone on a medallion or ring displayed by an elder, can have several meanings depending on the setting. Red is the color of passion and intensity, and Emmanuel saw a crimson robe after one of his lives with physical disabilities. However, in another case, an elder could display a ruby medallion to denote the need for a soul to have a greater passion for truth than was shown in a former life. The subtle variations of color translation at council meetings are unique to every soul's own perceptions. As one of my subjects said, "The wearing apparel of my council shows their mastery over a certain discipline. The colors they display in different forms also relate to the topic under discussion. These represent gifts of awareness to me as I face my council. No elder is greater than the other because each is an aspect of ultimate perfection." Signs and symbols. From the dawn of human history, our race has sought hidden spiritual meanings through interpretations of what we see around us. I remember how I felt climbing into the cave sanctuaries of Paleolithic humans along the Dordogne Valley in France. Inside these caves, one is taken back to the Stone Age by the symbolic art along the walls. They are among the earliest representations we have of human spiritual consciousness. For thousands of years, primal cultures around the world used rock pictures and diagrammed pictographs to represent ideas relating to magic, fertility, sustenance, courage and death. Indeed, down through the long centuries since that time, we have sought personal revelation through signs from the supernatural. The earliest signs were taken from the animal kingdom, from stones and the elements. We use symbols of all sorts as embodiments of power and instruments of insight and self-development. Ancient cultural attachments to mystic symbolism were often associated with a desire for transfiguration of our higher self over the primitive side of human nature. The rites and symbols of secret mystical societies, such as the Gnostics and Kabbalists, may well represent soul memory on earth and human memory in the spirit world. Perhaps I should not have been surprised to have found emblems with meaningful signs in the spirit world. As with all physical objects visualized by subjects in hypnosis, the emblems they see worn by some elders are grounded in past life experience. Conversely, why shouldn't we carry messages from the council to earth within our soul mind as well? Anthropologists who have studied clay tablets, seal stones, scarabs and amulets from our past believe that their influence to both wearer and observer went beyond physical life into the realm of disembodied souls. This custom continues today with engraved pendants, rings and charms. Many people who wear these symbolic talismans believe they protect but are also reminders of personal power and opportunity. The following cases may shed some light on the origins of our feelings about prophetic signs. About half my subjects see medallions hanging around the necks of one or more elders on their council. The other half see no objects at all. Frankly, I have found no correlation between these two groups of clients in any way, including their level of development. When a medallion is seen by people, some 85% of them visualize a circular design. The others may see squares, rectangles, triangles, and star-like designs, some of which are seen in three dimensions. All these medallion shapes, in association with the designs on them, are significant and represent a continuity of spirit, both morally and spiritually, to the evolving soul. The medallions typically hang from a chain or sometimes just a cord. Usually the metallic disc is gold, but they can also be silver or bronze. Most clients are focused on only one medallion on the council, which is almost always worn by the chief questioner. This elder is generally positioned directly in front of the soul. Case 40. Dr. N. How many members of your council are sitting in front of you?
S. 5.
Dr. N. How are they dressed?
S.
They all have white robes. Dr. N. I want you to look carefully. Do you see any of these wise beings wearing anything on their robes? If you don't see anything, fine, don't worry about it, I'm just curious.
S.
Pause. Well, the one in the center has something around his neck. Dr. N. Please describe what you see.
S.
I don't know. It's on a chain. Dr. N. What is on a chain?
S.
Something round, a metal disc. Dr. N. I always ask this question, is it close to the size of a grapefruit, orange, or walnut?
S.
The usual response, an orange. Dr. N. What color is this ornament?
S.
Gold. Dr. N. What do you think this gold medallion means?
S.
The normal response. Oh, probably some sort of badge of office, or maybe his particular area of expertise. Dr. N. Really? Do you think it is necessary for council members to wear emblems to signify to each other what their position is, or any particular talent they may have?
S.
Confused. Well, I don't know. I mean, how could I know? Dr. N. Let's not give up on this so easily. We might learn something together.
S.
No answer. Dr. N. Describe what you see on the gold medallion.
S.
The usual response. One can't see it very well. Dr. N. I want you to move closer so you can see the emblem more clearly.
S.
Reluctant. I'm not sure I should. Dr. N. Let's look at this logically. If you were not supposed to see the emblem, your chairperson would not allow you to see it. Think about this. Does it make sense that these highly developed beings would openly display adornments on their robes which you are not supposed to see? And why would they need to display them for each other?
S.
I suppose you're right, still reluctant. One guess it would be okay for me to move a little closer. Dr. N. Just so you know, talking to me about this is not a violation of confidentiality. Look at the expression on the face of the elder wearing the emblem. He knows what you are thinking. Tell me what you see.
S.
A kindly expression, helpful to me. Dr. N. Then I am sure he would not want you to miss anything pertaining to this meeting. Move forward and tell me what you see on the metal disc.
S.
Now more confident. One can't make out the writing around the side. It looks like filigree lace, but on the raised part of the disc in the center I see a big cat with its mouth open. Dr. N. Give me more details about the cat. Is it a house cat?
S.
More forcefully. No, it's a profile of a mountain lion with a fierce face and large teeth. Dr. N. Anything else?
S.
With recognition. Oh, there is a hand holding a dagger under the lion's neck. Long pause. Ah, yes. Dr. N. You know now what this is all about, don't you?
S.
Quietly. Yes, I think I do. It is from my Indian life. Dr. N. We haven't talked about that life. Tell me when and where this life took place and how the big cat fits in. This client, whose spirit name is Juan, proceeded to explain that in 1740 she was a young Indian woman in North America. She was out in the forest one day digging roots with her two children. The men of her village were off hunting. Suddenly, she saw a big cat jump out of a tree and move toward the children. One dropped her basket and ran directly at the cat. She said, "There was only time to pull out my stone knife, then he was on top of me. Just before the lion killed me, I was able to thrust up deep into his neck. Later the men found me and the lion dead, but the children were safe." When I asked one why she was being shown this emblem of the cat, she said, "To signify I displayed courage here and I must use it more in other lives. I always verify the design of medallion carvings with a post-hypnotic suggestion at the end of my sessions. I have my clients draw me a picture of what they saw. One's visual picture of this event is shown in figure 9a. Figure 9a medallion designs worn by council members. These designs are not drawn to scale. Souls see them in different sizes and colors, but they are almost always round and hang from an elder's neck. All emblems are illustrated with the usual double circle etched with indecipherable linguistic markings. The depiction of one's hand killing a mountain lion on the medallion was intended to send a strong message of capability and courage. My client came to me because she was fearful of dying at age 13 because her brother had died 2 years before in his 39th year while driving recklessly. She just had her 39th birthday and we found there was a tenuous quality about her existence. In the course of our session, my subject learned that in the life following her Indian life, she and her 2 children had been abandoned by her trapper husband in a Wyoming cabin during a harsh winter in the 19th century. This husband, who was her brother today, was restless and wanted his freedom from family responsibilities. Thus, this case involved a karmic transference of roles by an unsettled soul in one's spirit group who went from an errant past life husband in the 19th century to a rather wild brother in the 20th. As the trapper's abandoned wife, one told me she did not fight hard enough to save herself and the children by putting on snowshoes, a backpack, and trying to get out to civilization while she still had food. She was afraid, and rationalized that her husband would return before she and the children starved. The council showed one the cat medallion not only as a counterpoint to the lack of resolve in the Wyoming life but also for her fearfulness today. I'm glad one saw the contemporary message of this symbol of courage in our session because the soul of her brother had volunteered for the probable short life to test my client again and deal with his own karma of abandoning people. I know it seems odd that these ethereal beings on the council would be seen by souls as having a body of light energy in human shape wearing robes with ornaments. When I initially detected the medallions, I did wonder if they were chains of office. I learned that these pendants and their designs had nothing to do with an elder's status on the council but everything to do with offering a message of inspiration to the souls who come before them. As with so many aspects of the spirit world, these symbols did not reveal themselves easily to me. In the early stages of my inquiries into medallions, my questions would elicit enigmatic responses to the effect that an emblem's meaning was unfathomable, or that the elder was sitting too far away to make it out. For too long I accepted these explanations. Then I changed tactics. As can be seen from the last case, I now tell subjects that it does not make sense that elders would wear an insignia for personal recognition with each other. Since these wise beings already know everything about each other, these medallions have to be for the benefit of the soul they are interviewing. They might be changed over time after a karmic lesson is learned, however, some scenes appear not to change at all. Once a person in hypnosis realizes the emblems are not symbols of a secret society belonging only to their particular council, they open up. This allows the client to make the mental distinction between an observer caught up in an event over which they have no control to that of an active participant. Responses improve by giving the client permission to recognize what essentially already belongs to them as a soul. The therapy one I am able to utilize in their current life from this aspect of interlife council meetings is worth the effort. The passages from the next case are unusual because the subject knows the names of 3 council members, all of whom have medallions. The chairman's emblem design is figure 9B. Case 41, Dr. N. As you look more closely at the emblem worn by your chairperson, please describe it to me. S. Drit wears the head of an eagle. It is turned sideways on the gold disc in bold relief. Its beak is wide open. One can see the bird's tongue. Dr. N. Okay, what does all this mean to you? S. Drit is giving me a message to fly high and scream into the silence. Dr. N. Can you tell me more? S. Drit says I must engage with my silence in life. I can't live in my own world all the time. Unless I break out and rise above life's circumstances, I will not progress. Dr. N. And how do you respond to Drit's message? S. I just don't accept this. I tell Drit that there was enough noise by others in my past life. I didn't need to add to it. Dr. N. What does Drit answer? S, he says I could have made the world louder, but better, by being more vocal in what I knew to be the truth. Dr. N, do you agree with his assessment?
S,
pause, I suppose, one probably could have participated more, to engage others, and fought for my convictions. Dr. N, do you always see the eagle design after your lives?
S,
no, only when I fall into my old patterns of silence. Sometimes his disc is blank. Dr. N, are you having trouble with this same issue in your current life?
S,
yes, that's why I came to you and why Drit has now reminded me of this lesson. Dr. N, does anyone else on your council wear an emblem?
S,
yes, that would be Tron. He sits to the right of Drit. Dr. N, please describe the design on Tron's medallion for me.
S,
he wears an emblem engraved with a cluster of golden grapes. Dr. N, are you saying the grapes are gold, rather than appearing in their natural colors?
S,
shrugs. Yes, they are gold because the disc is that color. The emblems are always metallic. Dr. N, why is that?
S,
I'm really not sure. For me, they represent objects that are precious and long-lasting. Dr. N, what does the symbol of a cluster of grapes mean to you?
S,
pause, Tron wears the sign of, the fruit of life, which can be eaten, absorbed, that is, to grow with knowledge. Dr. N, why a bunch of grapes rather than, say, an apple?
S,
the cluster of grapes represents, not a single fruit, but multiples of the same fruit, to absorb different aspects of the same whole. Dr. N, would you care to expand on this message by Ian?
S,
that by absorbing this symbol, each grape, into myself I will grow and flourish from every experience. Dr. N, do any other members of your council wear emblems?
S,
pause, shy, she wears the emblem of the key as a reminder to open the door of knowledge and by doing so accept the fact that the answers to my problems lie within my abilities to solve them. With case 41, it was the eagle design which had the greatest prominence. Birds on medallions are not unusual. One man told me that his chairperson had an emblem of bird leathers with a thistle in the center to remind him of the number of lives in the Highlands of Scotland. He stated, in those lives as a clansman I soared up mountain crags, fighting British oppression for the freedom of my people. A female client saw a swan emblem on an elder, which denoted growth through change. She said, I am being reminded that at birth this beautiful creature is awkward and can't fly. This represents my own metamorphosis from an ugly duckling into someone imposing, a productive person in my last series of lives. Occasionally, a fish is seen on a medallion. A client told me that for him, this symbol represented a creature who could swim against a current and still be in harmony with its environment. For some reason, human figures are rarely seen on council emblems. When I do hear of them, I find their symbolic meanings to be intriguing. To illustrate the use of a human figure on a medallion, one refer the reader to figure 9C. This represents the case of a 30-year-old woman called Noreen who came to me because she did not want to live anymore. Her husband had committed suicide some months before and she wanted to follow him. During the session we found out this soulmate had lost his life in a logging accident at age 26 in their previous life together. Couples in life each have their own karmic paths which may involve different issues from each other. However, these issues are frequently intertwined when souls from the same cluster group agree to work together, especially in a marriage. Noreen did not do well as a young widow in her last life, particularly in her refusal to open her heart to anyone else. For the remainder of that life, Noreen was inconsolable and died in bitterness from self-inflicted emotional wounds. Facing her counsel at the end of this past life, she was told by the chairperson, "You didn't let your spirit grow, did you?" Apparently, the same lesson has been presented to Noreen in her current life to see how she will handle it. I want to stress that this was not why her husband committed suicide. One have had cases where a spouse will intentionally choose a body that has a high probability of dying young from a variety of natural causes to allow the surviving spouse to again work through grief in a more healthy fashion. Suicide is not one of these options. Suicide by a physically healthy young person is not a prearranged karmic option for anyone. From my experience, I believe the odds are that if Norin's husband had not committed suicide, he probably would have died young from some sort of accident. At the time of our meeting, my client believed it was not possible to go on without the man she loved. Her extreme despondency also carried feelings of guilt that somehow she might have been responsible, although her husband's suicide note carried just the opposite message. One feel that taking this client back to her last council meeting and viewing once again the medallion she saw is making a difference in her life today. Case 42, Dr. N. 1 want you to tell me exactly what design you see on the chairman's medallion. S. The first thing I see is an animal, a deer. No, I think it is a gazelle. It is jumping in mid-flight. Dr. N. Good. And do you see anything else you can talk about? S. Pause. There is a human on its back. This really stands out boldly in the center. Dr. N. I see. Is it similar to a bas-relief carving? S. Yes, the gazelle and human figure are turned sideways to me. You know, like I'm watching them from an angle as they race across a plain. The human is faceless, but has long hair and the delicate body of a woman. The one leg I can see is bent, she is riding. One arm is raised, holding up a torch. Dr. N., a shift to present time, and then a command. All right. What I want you to do is rediscover the meaning of what you are seeing. It is no accident that we are here today discussing this emblem together. It represents something you need to remember. You are a young widow for the second time in two successive lives. Ask for assistance from your guide if necessary. S. After a long pause, she responds tearfully, I know the meaning. The human is me and I am riding east into the sunrise. The direction signifies the dawn of a new day. This animal would normally never trust a human to be near it, much less ride on its back. The gazelle trusts me and I must trust myself to go where the animal takes me because we must travel swiftly. Dr. N., and why must you travel swiftly? S., after some prompting from me and few false starts, because in life there is danger. Parts of this danger lie within us, our weakness. The way we sabotage, and this prevents us from reaching a destination. It is easy to get bogged down. Dr. N., are you saying the gazelle represents a liberating force? S. Yes, I must have the courage and strength to continue on with my life with the greatest sense of purpose. The gazelle also represents freedom to conquer fear and have faith in myself. Dr. N., what about the torch you are carrying on the emblem? S. Softly. Always, the light of knowledge. Our search for wisdom. This flame is never extinguished or made ineffective by shadows. Dr. N., do you see anything else on the pendant? S., still in a state of reverie, oh, it is not important to me, one think. I am unable to read the Greek letters within the circle around the edge. Unfortunately, one must report that none of my subjects who see medallions can decipher the strange symbols between the two outer rings near the edge. The secret writing remains a mystery in my research and I have reluctantly come to the conclusion this is one feature of the emblems that my clients and I are not supposed to know about. One should also add that much of what souls see and hear at their council meetings cannot be recreated in my office. Over the years of my work, I have come to expect that people in hypnosis cannot adequately explain all that happens in their spiritual lives because of human limitations in communication and translations which must be processed through the human brain. My subjects do not know why they cannot decipher the squiggles on medallions. They refer to them as hieroglyphics, cuneiform writing, runes and even mathematical symbols. The script does not seem to be translatable. It could be pictorial or ideogrammic. Perhaps it is an unspoken spiritual language. I suspect the same types of symbols appear on the life books in spiritual libraries, such as the Greek pi symbol on the front of the book described by Case 30. While the life books are very personal and undoubtedly used as a chronicle of the souls passed by their guides and councils, the writing around the edges of an elder's medallion may have nothing to do with the soul.